There are many blessings associated with pastoring a church for a long time, as I have been here now almost 40 years. There are innumerable blessings. I watch people grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. I watch young men like Mike Bartram, who just sang for us, grow up from a little tow-headed boy in the service here to a mature, blessed servant of the Lord. And that's a joy. And I watch our young people grow up, marry, and their children be born, and watch them grow up and mature. And it's a blessing. It's a great joy to pastor somewhere a long, long time. But then there are special burdens and troubles and trials, because when you stay somewhere a long time, the older men and women become like mothers and fathers to you. You know, they're a whole lot more than just church members. They're my mothers and my fathers, and the men like Art Young, they're closer than a blood brother, closer than a natural brother. They're just part of you. And when God's pleased to take one, I lose a brother every time. And I suppose I spent more time with this man than any other individual man in this church. He was my golf buddy. And we were together for 26, 27 years. Hardly a week passed that I wasn't with him in some way. And I've never known a finer man. I've never been blessed with the fellowship of a more positive, gracious, and kind man than this man. He was a blessing to be around. The younger people of the church become my children. My children. And this is a special joy for me to share with the family this time. It's a special heartache for me. It's just an unusual time. I prayed that God would give me something to say that was appropriate, something would be glorifying to him, and something would be a blessing and a comfort to the family and a means of instruction. So I've chosen to read from the book of Job, chapter 1. And my subject for this message is how to behave in time of trouble. How to behave in time of trouble. It says in verse 13 of Job 1, there was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God, or a great fire, is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and daughters, and there were 10 of them, 7 boys and 3 girls, were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they're dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped God. And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I leave this earth. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, in all of this trouble, Job sinned not with his mouth, nor charged God with foolishness. The Lord called Job my servant. What an honorable title. That's a title that every believer takes to himself, a servant. Like Paul said, I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord. The Lord also said that Job not only was his servant, but he said Job was a mature man. That's what the word perfect means in the first chapter of Job, means a mature man, a mature believer, an upright man, a man who feared God, a man who shunned evil. Here's a servant of the Lord, a man who was mature in the faith, a man who was upright and honest, a man who feared God, and a man who avoided evil, but yet a man of great trouble. Servants of God, even men who walk with God, even men who are upright in spirit, men who hate and despise evil, are not without trouble. Man is born of woman, Job wrote himself, and is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And David, in Psalm 73, had a lot to say about trouble. He said, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, he said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of wicked men, no bands in their death, their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as believers. They're not plagued like God's people. Pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than hearts could wish. And they set their mouths against heaven, and their tongues walk through the earth. But God's people, waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It was distressing to me, until I went to the house of God and I understood their end. Paul said, I'm troubled on every side, yet I'm not distressed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. And the Lord God was pleased to send Job great troubles. Great troubles, indescribable troubles. He suffered the loss of all that he had. And yet in all of these troubles, in all of these trials, in all of these sufferings, he never did charge God with foolishness. Never did. Never charged God with injustice. He never said it's not fair. He never said it's not right. He never said I don't deserve this. You're going to still claim to know God? Why don't you curse God and die? But he said to her, you speak as a foolish woman. Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil, trouble? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In fact, he said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. To whom shall I go? He has the words of life. So Job teaches me, and it teaches you. And God uses these men as an example. These men are our examples. And this servant of God, this mature believer, this patient man, James talks about his patience. This man who was upright, who feared God, teaches us how to behave in our times of trouble. Oh, he sorrowed. His heart was broken, no question about that. He wept, but he worshiped God. And that's the first thing. It says here in verse 20, then Job, after hearing of all of these difficulties, he arose and he rent his mantle. He tore his clothes. That was when these people rent their clothes, it was a sign of great grief. They rent their clothes and put ashes on their head and shaved their head. But he fell down and worshiped God. My friends, to everything there's a season. God said there's a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, there's a time to reap. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, there's a time to dance. There's a time to get. It is a time to lose. But I'll tell you this. Whatever the time, at all times, in every time, it's time to worship. It's time to worship. David said, I'll worship God. I'll bless the Lord at all times. And the hymn writer said, I'll love him in life. I'll love him in death. I'll praise him as long as he gives me breath. I worship God. I worship God. Well, that's the first lesson. When all of this news came, Job didn't look down. He looked up. And he worshiped God. And then he said something. In verse 21, he said, naked, I came out of my mother's womb, and naked, I'll leave this world. When I was born, he said, from my mother's womb, I had nothing. I had no land or houses or children. I had no sheep or cattle. I had no oxen. I had nothing. When I was born of my mother, I owned nothing. I brought nothing into this world with me. When I was born from my mother's womb, I had to be clothed by someone else. They had to provide me with a garment. I had nothing. Paul said, we brought nothing into this world. Someone had to feed me. And he said, when I leave this world, I may have enjoyed children and wife and friends and my home and my lot and my garden and my possessions. But when I leave this world, I leave it the same way I came. Somebody else will clothe me and put me in a box and put me in the ground. That's the way I came, and that's the way I leave. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Why doesn't that humble us? How can any of us have 1 ounce of pride when we come in here like we come in and leave like we leave? Don, the only thing original about us is sin. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou boast as if thou didst not receive it? There is no difference. The Bible keeps telling us there is no difference. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, old and young, male or female, rich or poor. There is no difference. All of these things we put on to distinguish us, places we live, to distinguish us from others, degrees we earn, jobs we hold, are all just temporary, material sandcastles and soap bubbles. Because we came here naked, and that's where we're going to leave. Somebody said, what did the man leave? Everything. We brought nothing into this world, and we'll take nothing out. Nothing. That ought to humble us. That ought to bring us down. It ought to destroy our pride. No, the grave is not the leveler. The grace of God's the leveler. That's the leveler. But men will go on. They'll go on like they've gone on for 6,000 years. And they'll die like they've lived. The third thing Job said is this. In verse 21, he said, he acknowledged the source of all things. When they brought all this news to him, this trouble and sorrow, he just fell down and worshiped God. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he said, well, I came here naked. And I'm going to leave here naked. And he said, the Lord gave. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. He didn't sell, he gave. He gave. Everything I have is the gift of God. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Christ, my Redeemer, is the gift of God. The unspeakable gift of God. For God so loved that he gave. He gave. Eternal life is the gift of God. The wages of sin is death. I earn that. I earn sin's wages, eternal wrath and death. But the gift of God is eternal life. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Even faith is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Christ came into this world, obeyed the law of God and gave us a perfect righteousness, went to the cross and bore our shame and sin and guilt, made for us a perfect atonement, was buried and rose again, and is at God's right hand as our mediator. And all that's the gift of God. I have a high priest. I have a hope. I have a mediator. But I didn't earn it. God gave it to me. We were up at the hospital when Art was there after his surgery when he was so very sick, and a nurse or someone came in and I believe said to Mike, would y'all like to see a priest? Catholic hospital. Mike said, no, thank you. We got a high priest. I don't need these fellas playing games, do you mind? I got a high priest. I got a high priest. But he's the gift of God. He's the gift of God. The Lord gave. The Lord gave Ethel a precious, wonderful husband for 40 some odd years. God gave us Art. He gave you a faithful, caring, loving daddy. That's the gift of God. When I think where I could be and what I could be and what I would be except for his grace, I say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord gave. The Lord gave me a faithful, dear brother and friend. God gave us many years together. God gave us Art, and I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful to God for him. Every talent, every gift, every characteristic of this man was not of the flesh. It was the gift of God. God made him what he was. You say, how does a man take what he took through life? I know something about his sufferings. I know something about the trouble that he endured through the years. I know something about the surgeries and the hospitals and the things like that, and yet his attitude was always positive. How did he live that way? The gift of God. God made him what he was. I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. The Lord gave. Can we say that? Worship him and face what we are humbly and honestly before God. I'm nothing in the flesh. I didn't bring anything here. I'm not going to take anything away. The Lord gave it. And then he said this. And the Lord had taken away. I am quite weary with preachers attributing anything in the life of God's children to the devil. I'm weary of that. The devil can't do one thing except what God Almighty lets him do. Who took art away? Not fate, not chance, not even disease. Not Satan. God took him. God took him. The Lord gave him. The Lord took him. The Lord will pick the flowers from his garden when he's ready. The Lord knows when the fruit is ripe, and he'll pick it in his own time. A friend of mine wrote a song one time years ago. I see God in everything. He's my prophet, priest, and king, and all the universe is under his control. Life and death are in his hands, and even angels move at his command. I see God in everything my eyes behold. That's old Job. The Lord gave him, and the Lord has taken him away. I tell you this, my dear friends, it's time for us to get back to the Word of God. Get away from emotionalism and entertainment and sentimentalism and feelings and experiences and all these things. There is no foundation there. Let's get back to what God said. Man's days are determined. The number of his months are with the Lord. God has appointed his bounds. He cannot pass. That's what God said. I am the Lord. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. I make rich and I make poor. I, the Lord, do all these things. None can stay my hand or say unto me, what doest thou? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. And I'll tell you this, there's no peace. There is no peace. There may be a veneer. There may be a game played. There may be a claim, but there is no inner, solid heart peace for any person until that person can see sincerely and genuinely the hand of God in everything. There's where you'll get peace. I mean everything. I mean everything, great and small, good and evil, life and death. The hand of God. When you see the hand of God, that there's no chance, there's no fate involved. It's the will of God. When you can see that, you'll find some peace. That's where Job found his peace. When they came and told him 10 children were dead, well, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's no peace, there's no rest for any person. I'm telling you, there's no peace, there's no rest. There's a phony peace when there is no peace. There's an external veneer of religious sham. But there's no peace, inner peace and rest for any person who credits God with his gains and the devil with his losses. There's no peace there. And I'll tell you this, when a child of God, a believer, attributes anything in his life to anybody but God, that's to discredit God. That's to discredit his love. That's to discredit his grace. That's to discredit his promise. That's to discredit his care as a father. Why? He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, You love your children? You care for your children? Would you let anybody hurt your children? How much more shall your Father give good things to his children? If your child asked Fred, would you give him a stone? Or would you let anybody give him a stone? If he asked for meat, would you give him a serpent or let anybody give him a serpent? No, sir. Then why do you want to discredit my Lord by saying anything happens in the life of one of his children of which he's not aware or which he cannot prevent or which Satan slips in when God's not noticing? That's folly. For all things work together for good, the eternal good to them who love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. Huh? That's what the Word of God says. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Now what do you say to these things? Well, I say, if God be for me, who can be against me? He that spared not his own Son, but raised him up for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? My Lord died. He was buried and rose again. And he ever lives to make intercession for me. And he gives his angels charge over his children, lest they dash their foot against a stone. Did you know God's loving care for his children is so exact and precise, he knows every stone in their path, which may be an obstacle. But you know, for their good and his glory, sometimes he puts them there so they'll look to him.
That's right.
That's right. The Lord took art. The Lord took art. But he didn't just take him away, he took him to glory. He took him to glory. Preacher, can you tell me what art is seeing? No, sir, I wish I could. But I couldn't. I couldn't. Paul went up there. The Apostle Paul went up there. He said, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. Now, that's how mysterious it was. He said, I don't know. But I do know this. I heard things it's not possible for me to utter. You couldn't receive it. I know this. I know art right now has perfect joy, perfect health, perfect peace, perfect youth. He told me, he said, my name's Young. I'll always be young. You're right, brother. You're right. You always will be young. You always will be. Because the Lord will wipe away every tear. God will be their God and dwell with them. There'll be no more pain. No more pain, Arthur. No more distress. No more night, eternal day. I like to think about what he might have experienced yesterday afternoon when suddenly he saw his brother-in-law Bill Borders there. Can you think about that? Years ago, 1945, I don't know whether you've heard this story or not, but Ethel will verify this. This is the true story. 1945, this is before they were married. This Bill and Art were just friends. They grew up together around Louisa, George's Creek, and where some of you all are from. And they knew each other, but they went away the service in World War II. They went away the service, and Art came back from Japan, 1945, and he came to the big city of San Francisco under the Golden Gate Bridge and landed in San Francisco after the war was over in 1945. And he's walked down the streets in San Francisco. And here came Bill Borders. And they didn't recognize each other at first. They walked right by each other, didn't they? Art and Bill walked right by each other. And about the same time, Art turned around and Bill turned around. Art said, Bill? Bill said, Art? Can you imagine in that celestial city, and I'm dead serious, we'll know as we have been known. Yesterday, when Art was walking down the street at 3:15, and he said, Bill, and Bill said, Art, what a reunion. I wish they'd have turned and said, Henry. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be something? Charlie, Roger. Isn't that something? Eternally young, blessed. Oh, my. The Lord had taken away, but not away away. He had taken away unto himself. There no soul sleep. My, how men have misled us in this day. Given us so many troubles, we got enough without bearing the folly and foolishness of preachers. But to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I can't explain that. But that's what God said. Our Lord said to the believing thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Paul said, to depart from this life is to be with Christ. Right now. Right now. The body returns to the dust from whence it came, the soul to God who gave it. And if our tabernacle of this flesh be destroyed, we have a building of God not made with hands. Perfection. Well, watch this. Trouble came and Job worshiped God. Trouble came and Job said, well, what I have, God gave me. What I am, God made me. What I know, God taught me. Didn't deserve any of it because I came here naked and I left the same way. God gave and God's taken away. And then he said, well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I try to be to this congregation as honest and straightforward as I can, and they'll attest to that fact. And I have to confess honestly, my heart is broken. I didn't want this man to die. I'm being perfectly honest. I did not want him to die. I did not want him to leave at this time. I prayed that he would not die. I prayed that he would get well. But my God willed otherwise. And not reluctantly, but willingly, I bow to his will. And I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be. God knows best. See, I don't know. I just don't know. God knows best. And my heart is sad. I'm not sad for Art. I'm sad for us. We'll miss him. He'll be sorely missed. He had such a special place in so many lives. He touched so many lives. But the Lord of glory... The Lord of glory told him to come home. You loved him. I loved him. You loved him. God loved him. And God said, come home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, that's just the way it is. I'm not going to murmur and find fault with my God's will because it's best. He's too wise to make a mistake and he's too good to do wrong. And I don't see it now, but I will see it. I'll know why. And really, truly, besides being broken, my heart broken and sad, but my heart's glad, and I can't explain that. I just know I have the same feeling of sadness and joy at the same time. Don't you? I can't explain that. I'm sad, but I'm happy for him. I rejoice. Death is not a penalty. It's a promotion. Death is not loss. It's gain. This is coronation day. This man has reached the goal. And we sorrow not as those who have no hope. For if we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so those who rest in Christ, believe his word, believe his gospel, rest in his Son, will God bring with him. And I say this, we're going to meet again. We'll meet again. As sure as God reigns in covenant mercies, we'll meet again. I rejoice in God's covenant of grace, don't you? We'll meet again. I don't say we'll meet on our merit. I don't say we'll meet on our works. I don't say we'll meet because we were Baptists. I don't say we'll meet because we were Protestants. I don't say we'll meet because we made a decision. We'll meet because God Almighty in covenant mercies chose us and gave us to Christ. As sure as Jesus Christ became incarnate, as sure as Christ Jesus made an atonement, as sure as Christ Jesus arose from the grave, as sure as he reigns at majesty's right hand, as our mediator, as sure as the word of God stands, we'll meet again. There used to be a song when I was growing up. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when.
I know where. And I know when. When he comes again, we'll meet again.
And I wrote a farewell. This is called To Art. My brother, rest. From sin and sorrow, death is over and life is won. And we'll meet again in God's tomorrow when my earthly race is run. My brother, rest, for he who loved you also died that we might live. And we'll meet again in his presence, for Jesus Christ reigns, eternal life to give. My brother, rest. The night is over. Endless day is around you poured. And we'll meet again to part, no never, in that glorious kingdom of our Lord. So go, my brother. Go to God's house above. And when my day of life has fled, there by grace, with joy, I'll meet you, where no farewell tears are ever shed. We'll meet again. We'll meet again by his grace. And I'll tell this whole world, it'll be by his grace. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but by his grace, by his mercy, we're redeemed. That's true. That's true. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a sinner whom he came to save. Here's another one. Any of them out there? By his grace. And you know what we're going to sing up there? We're going to sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, who made us kings and priests unto God. Unto him be the glory and the honor and the praise forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord.